Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, does that music make me feel good? Today is a very special day. We have the Guinness Records holder. Jack Condon has the greatest, largest collection of Charlie's Angels memorabilia in the world, and he's going to be with us and talking about that as well as his other memorabilia. And we may have some special call-in guests, too. So all you Charlie's Angels and Classic TV fans, stay tuned, and we'll be back with Jack live in about 20 seconds on Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and I'd like you to meet a very interesting guy. In fact, the Guinness Book of World Records said he was one of their most interesting records holders. Jack Condon, welcome to the show. We're so elated you're here today.
Well, thank you, Richard. Unfortunately, I woke up with a little bit of a cold, so I think I sound like Froggy from The Little Rascals, but here I am.
Oh, well, I hope you feel better soon, and thanks for being a trooper and being here today. And
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. It's always fun to talk Charlie's Angels. I mean, it's been such an integral part of my life for so many years that, you know, when people say, I love Charlie's Angels, or I love talking about it, it's always fun to kind of reminisce about it, especially so many years later. And it's such a show that stands out amongst all of these cable shows and new shows that come and go. It's like, for some reason, Charlie's Angels is so iconic. People get excited about it even to this day.
Yeah, it was recently back on Cozy, and my wife and I got re-addicted to it, watching it on Cozy TV. And when a show was on, I had a fair of the red, you know, bathing suit, swimsuit poster, and even a T-shirt with that poster, and it had the pictures of the girls on my wall. And what captured you? Was it the chemistry of the three, or was there any one of the three angels that you had a little bit more of a crush on than the other three, or how did it first hit you when you were a kid?
Well, surprisingly enough, I was a fan of a show called The Rookies with Kate Jackson. So I was very familiar with her, and Farrah Fawcett I knew because she was doing episodic TV at the time, like Apple's Way and $6 Million Man, and I had seen her on commercials. And prior to Charlie's Angels, there was a show called Get Christy Love that I enjoyed. So when I saw the ad for the TV Guide, and I saw Kate Jackson's face and Farrah's, I thought, I wonder if this is going to be like Get Christy Love, and I was really excited to see Kate Jackson, especially in something else. And so after the pilot, I was just very excited. I was a very small child, and I didn't realize that that was going to spin off into a series at the time. But, of course, when it did, the week after it came out, they were on the cover of the TV Guide. And that image, I remember, just captured my heart because, like you said, there's such chemistry between the three, not only personality-wise or how they worked together on the show, but just looking at a photograph of the three women together, it was just, you know, it was larger than life, as you know, for a small kid, especially if you have the Farrah poster and the shirt, and you'll have to tell me if you save them. But that image on the TV Guide is what really started my collecting. I don't know why, I just saved it. I think I liked the image. In fact, I was so impressed with that image that when I wrote the Charlie's Angels casebook in 2000, I wanted that picture to be the cover of the casebook as well, because that's sort of what my interest in collecting. Yeah.
So is that the cover photo then, Jack? Now, on the cover, I have the book right in my hand here. That's the TV Guide picture then, huh?
That is the TV Guide picture that ultimately became the cover of the Charlie's Angels casebook. And the photographer, I'll give him credit, Peter Credenza, he was very gracious about allowing us to use that cover for the book, because that's something that was really special, and that was one thing I had always envisioned. If I was going to do a book on Charlie's Angels, I definitely wanted that photograph to be the cover.
And, well, the book is great. The book is absolutely great. And those of you listening, we're with Jack Condon. If you're a fan of classic TV, Charlie's Angels, his book is Charlie's Angels Casebook, and he also has a wonderful business that sells some of the iconic movie posters and memorabilia called Backlot Movie. You can go to backlotmovie.com. And if you want to call in and share your questions or memories of Charlie's Angels or ask Jack a question about classic memorabilia, the guest call-in number is 347-637-2379. And you can also email or text a question to us at richardrossilive@gmail.com. Jack, you also developed a TV movie about the Angels that was quite a process, wasn't it?
It was a process, and I have to tell you, that was one of the most, obviously, one of the most thrilling projects I had ever worked on. And to give you a little backstory about it, after I had done the Charlie's Angels tape book in 2000, I still remember to this day, and this is like a fantasy story, but I remember I was out driving around, and I happened to call my mother, and I said to my mother, you know, I think I'd like to try to make my book into a TV movie, because at the time there was, you know, a Brady Bunch behind-the-scenes movie, and there was a Three's Company movie, and I thought, you know, there was so much backstory about Charlie's Angels, I thought a TV movie would be the next best thing. And my mother said to me, well, how are you going to do that? And I said, you know, I don't know, but I had some friends in the industry, and I was just kind of toying with the idea, and I kid you not, about 3 weeks later, to the day, I got a call from a producer, and they said, we love your book. We want to make it into a TV movie. And of course,
wow.
I had thought, oh, you know, what is this all about? And it was legitimate, and we sold the rights to NBC, and I worked on the film for it. It took us about a year to do, but the most exciting part for me was the casting of the actresses, because I knew going into that I wanted the women to emulate the actual actresses. So when we did the casting, I can tell you the Farrah character was the hardest one to cast. We had many women come in, and we had it finalized between two women. We had Tricia Helfer, who at the time was unknown, and when I saw her audition tape, I liked the shape of her mouth, and that was why I wanted to go with her. And other people, I guess I can say it now, 2 years later, they wanted, I always get her mixed up, Brooke Burns, I always get her mixed up with Brooke Burke, the one that was in a show called Dog Eat Dog. Those were the two finalists. Ultimately, we did a final hair and makeup test in Hollywood, and at the time, Tricia just kind of nailed it out of the ground. And I remember when she came on the set to do the final audition, my heart was pounding like a little kid, because they did such a fantastic job, you know, recreating her to look like Farrah. She came down in this tennis outfit, and when she did her final audition, she just blew me away, and I was quite happy that she got the part. And I was very happy with the three actresses that actually were in the movie. And a little side note is, if you, besides the Backlot Movie site, if you go on charliesangelsfan.com, you can see my collection room, which is, as you said, is in the Guinness World Records. But I actually sat with the actresses who were playing the Angels, and we did line rehearsals in that room, because I wanted them to be surrounded with the phenomenon of what the show was all about. So by the time we shot it up in Canada, they got a lot of the mannerisms, and especially a lot of the voice inflection, which was really quite uncanny. And the girl that played Jacqueline, especially, her name is Christina Chambers. When I was on the set and she came out looking like Jacqueline again, being on the set, it was like a throwback to my childhood. Because here I am on the set of the Charlie Townsend Office, and I had these three girls that looked incredible. They just, especially Christina Chambers as Jacqueline, she just blew my mind away on the set. So that was a lot of fun. And so it's always been something for me with Charlie's Angels. And then, you know, after the movies, and of course, as you mentioned, I was inducted to the Guinness World Records, which is a lot of fun. I think I'm in this year's edition. And to let you know about the Guinness World Records, it's fascinating how they pick you, because we haven't really talked about my collection much, but when I started collecting, I actually bought two of everything. I bought one to put on display, one to put away. I don't know why I did that as a kid. I was an anal child. But when they said, you know, you have to add up all your items, they would not allow me to include the doubles. It was single items only. You couldn't include magazines. You couldn't include magazine clippings. So I actually have more than I'm listed in the Guinness World Records, but it was interesting what you could count as your collectible and what you couldn't count as a collectible, even though I actually, you know, invested money or what have you to get these certain trinkets or what have you. They said, no, we can't have that. So I actually have more than what's listed, but I thought it was kind of an interesting process. But, so I spent a culmination of books and movies and Guinness World Records. And then because of my collecting enthusiasm, I had the opportunity to buy the business, the BacklotMovie.com, which originated in Hollywood in 1972. And I've been running it since 2008, which is a lot of fun because, you know, you have to love what you do. I mean, I'm sure you love doing radio. And for myself, I love collecting. I love sharing information about collecting or finding things for collectors. So, again, this is just another extension on this pathway that started with this show that came out so many years ago. So I'm very fortunate about that. And through my years of collecting, I have talked to collectors who not just collect Charlie's Angels but other things, and I'm always fascinated with why people collect or what they collect, and having the backlot movie business, again, you know, I even learned so much about things beyond Charlie's Angels, so that's why I could give you a Little Rascals reference about Froggy in my voice earlier, because I have a lot of Little Rascals at the warehouse. So it's definitely groomed me to know a little bit about vintage Hollywood. I don't know everything yet, but, you know, I learn as I go because my business, if you go on the BacklotMovie.com site, I have so many items that I'll open a box and I'll say, oh, what's this? And I'll go online, I'll research an actor or an actress, and I'll be like, wow, this is so fascinating. So I'm learning as I go along. And, again, it all started with Charlie's Angels, which we love talking Charlie's Angels.
Well, it's wonderful. At BacklotMovie.com, you have the posters, you know, those of us that love those iconic posters for a game room, the scripts, all kind of things, autographs. You know, it's amazing, you know, the love that you have became something that became a business, and I think that's the best way to do anything in life is do what you love. And I know a lot of people love the show and are appreciative of your work. We have at richardrossilive@gmail.com, some questions coming in. And if those of you that want to go live on air, you can call 347-637-2379 and talk to Jax. And if you want to text the questions, some of you are texting them in, you can text the questions to 818-850-5915. One question comes in here from – what was that, Jack?
Before we have a question, I still have a question for you. Did you save your poster or Farrah shirt?
Oh, you know, unfortunately, with all the moves and things, I didn't save it. And I was thinking, you know, that's a big difference between us is you were smart and bought two of everything and saved everything. I had literally, you know, wall to wall. My bedroom was entirely covered with posters and stuff back in the Charlie's Angels day. Had a massive Farrah crush as a kid. And I loved Jacqueline and Kate. So to me, like, seeing your collection makes me so excited because – you know, we moved a lot and there was a lot of drama in our family, and some of the things I cherished as a kid, you know, and collected, didn't get saved. So, when I see that you've saved all this great stuff and it's grown and grown, it makes me feel really good. 'Cause that's like a part of my life that was there and lost. So when I see the old show again and see what you're doing, it kind of brings back, it's a very comforting feeling for me. It's like a regression to a simpler time or something. Do you think it was with just the three stations, we didn't have hundreds and hundreds of cable stations? It seemed like these shows, for those of us that remember them as kids, is it just me or did it seem like it had more of an impact on all of us? Like I remember at school the next day, we all talked about the Charlie's Angels episode, but now there's hundreds of things everybody has a choice of. Did it seem like it had more of an impact on us than like shows that come and go today?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you a couple of things in regard to what you just said. First of all, no matter how crazy my life has been over the years, because I'm originally from Boston, as you can hear the Boston accent, and I traveled across country with this collection, and it actually survived an earthquake, you know, the 94 earthquake. I think one bottle of Farrah shampoo broke or something, but other than that, it survived. But no matter how crazy my life is, no matter what I do, and, you know, I've had ups and downs like everyone else, of course, I go into that room, and it's like time stands still. It's sort of like my Disneyland, if you would, because a lot of people like to go to Disneyland even though they make changes in the park. But you still, mm-hmm. when you walk up Main Street, and if you did that as a kid, it's still very reminiscent to you. And that's what going into my Charlie's Angels room is like. You just go in and you go, oh, it's like time stood still. But in regard to television now, it's so funny when you mention about going to school the next day. One of the reasons why I so enjoy collecting, I think I had so many people want to cultivate my collecting or would, you know, give me things or tell me about things. And I'd go to school and kids would give me the bubblegum cards after they were done with them. And they'd say, oh, did you see that episode last night? And, of course, the show for small children was larger than life. But now there's so many options besides cable. There's gaming and there's, you know, internet and there's online. So, no, there really isn't a genre of television that captured the imagination of young children like now. I mean, there's still, of course, Star Wars and you know, Marvel and things of that nature. And, of course, television, it was so much more, because we only had three networks at the time, so we had our focus, you know, solely on certain specific things, where nowadays there's so many options. And we're also in a, you know, a transitioning society. We move on from one thing to the next thing. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people still have that sustainability. Like, you know, Jurassic World came out in June, and now it's, you know, on to the next movie, whereas, you know, Star Wars or Ghostbusters or anything else, even movies seem to last for a long time in comparison to now.
Hmm. We do have a question from Karen, and this might be a tough one to answer because you've met all three and you love all three. Was there one angel? I think you might have said Kate was the one that first got your attention because of the Rookies, and she was, of course, on Dark Shadows. My wife met and talked with Kate a few times because her son was going to the school where my wife teaches. Is there one that stood out, or does it change through time for you in terms of the three angels?
Well, Karen, that's a good question. People ask me that all the time, and I always say, well, I can't pick one because, you know, I don't want to play favorites, but I will tell you, Jacqueline Smith has been just terrific to me over the years, and she wrote the foreword for my book, and which was great, and she's always been just so terrific. And Kate Jackson was the first angel that I actually met. I met her many years ago when I was a small kid, and at that point, you know, I could have died and gone to heaven. I still remember the enthusiasm. She was in Boston at the time, and I was a little kid. I actually got up at 4 in the morning and took buses and subways to downtown Boston to meet her. She was at a hotel, and I stood outside with a Kate Jackson shirt and a Kate Jackson hat, and I remember she came up.
Wow.
And she had a towel on her head. She didn't want to be recognized, and here's this kid with a big Kate poster, and you know, but I was a small kid, and she was very gracious. And of course, then I had met her years later as an adult. But by far, Jacqueline has been the most giving to me. You know, she's commended me on talk shows, and I had this big stand up, and she had signed it one time, and she wrote on it. I love this. She wrote to the person who has more pictures of me than my mother, and I thought that showed her personality, a sense of humor. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, she and I had a really good relationship, and you know, even the lesser angels, Shelley Hack and Tanya Roberts, I've always enjoyed them, and Cheryl Ladd, she was so enthusiastic in regard to interviewing for the Charlie's Angels Casebook, and I remember sitting with her and I. Because not only do I collect the Charlie's Angels series, but I also collected all of the actresses' individual careers. So, and they've done many, many TV movies over the years. They've all had successful careers, which I think is what kept my interest going with Charlie's Angels. So when the show ended, it wasn't like, oh, well, just another TV show that was canceled. But again, you know, they did high-profile TV movies and miniseries, and I always got the magazines when they were on the cover promoting all these individual movies. So when I interviewed Cheryl Ladd for the Charlie's Angels Casebook, I brought all of the photographs from, you know, the kind of showed her career from early stages to her recent movies. And so she and I were flipping through them, and I was looking at Cheryl Ladd, looking at photos of Cheryl Ladd, all these photos I had. And I thought, this is so, I thought it was interesting that here it is, you know, this woman and I are having a really nice conversation. I've had all these photos of her for years, and I go, isn't it crazy that I saved all these photos of you? And she looked up at me, and she said, yeah. And I said, yeah. And we both kind of, like, laughed, and we had, like, a moment, like, okay, we both get it. It's kind of unique and fun and quirky, but, yeah, it was fun. It was kind of fun that, you know, that she was comfortable enough to, like, we could laugh about it. So, you know, even Cheryl was just terrific. So I've been very fortunate in my opportunities to meet them over the years and how nice they've been. And so, you know, I certainly can't complain. And, again, interviewing so many people for the Charlie's Angels Facebook, I mean, I not only interviewed the actresses, but I interviewed writers and producers because I really wanted to get a behind-the-scenes sense of what went on during the show. I didn't want the book to be just a Valentine, but I wanted to, you know, put a spin on some of the reality aspects of the show as well. And besides,
okay. Oh, Jack, we do have a call coming in for you. Hi, you just called in. Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. This is Richard. You're live on the air.
Oh, hi. It's Sis Rundle. How are you?
Oh my God. This is the fourth Charlie's Angels.
Well, I was pretty close to them.
Well,
excuse me. I'm sorry, I just got very.
I'm turning it up so I can hear you. Well, hello.
Hello, Sis Rundle. I am very excited because, oh my gosh, you should see my face. I have a huge smile on my face.
That's good.
Where you're concerned, you don't need an introduction. I will introduce you. I will introduce you. Now, for all Charlie's Angels fans, this will tell you how much I know about Charlie's Angels. Sis Rundle was Cheryl Ladd's stand-in, and she was so gracious. 15 years ago, you interviewed with me for the Charlie's Angels Facebook, and I was enthusiastic to talk with you. You gave me such great information, some information I wouldn't publish because it was between you and I. But I am so excited to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much, and I'm happy that you are such a fan of Charlie's Angels. It was a great show for me to work on and be around, and it blessed my life and continues to. And you know, it was a special time and a special show.
And you were so special to talk to me years ago, and I don't know if you remember this, but when we started talking, I said to you, you know, the first time you actually had a speaking part was when you were throwing a football, and you laughed, and you said, that's right. And I said, I was so in tune to you because I had read something in Photoplay that, you know, you and Cheryl had standing, and you and Cheryl were good friends. And then when we talked, I had said, oh, you did the cheerleading episode, and you had a scene with Shelley Hack and a Pharaoh return, and you said to me, gosh, how do you remember this? And I said, because even when you were an extra, even when you were an extra, like you were throwing confetti at a cruise ship or you were a waitress, you always stood out in every scene. And you had laughed. You said, how do you remember all of my walk-on scenes?
Well, so listen, I was there. So any time I could get on camera or by camera or someone didn't show up, I would just pop in. And I got to study how to make a television show and what everybody did, and I was pretty obnoxious about it, but they could always count on me. And you know, I actually did it for my parents because they would watch the show and they knew somewhere along the show I would pop up. And
exactly.
It was like, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Exactly. And you're sort of like the Weird Waldo of Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, that's right. And I never knew what a following it had till I Googled it one day. And, you know, it was a really great experience. I was originally hired to double Farrah because she was only going to work till 6 o'clock. She was going to have a special contract. But then they decided to hire Cheryl, who I already was friends with because of her husband and my boyfriend at the time, Tim. So it was my destiny to get on that show. But I was Jacqueline's legs. I mean, every day I did something, and I'm still grateful to the experience I had in it. It was really sad for me when Farrah died, and I miss her so much. But it is a great show to watch and remember the styles and what the girls look like. But thanks for being such a fan. I am too.
Well, I want to say
I think my two favorite memories of you on the show, Sis, and I'm curious what Jack's were, but one was the Sandcastle Murders on the beach. You're so gorgeous in that episode. And the other one that stands out to my mind very strongly is when you're in the Railroad Girl with Charlie. Do you remember that, Jack?
Oh, I think that was my first Charlie girl. I remember, when I watched the show, I remember way too much about what was going on behind the scenes. But I had a great experience, and I was very lucky. It was a wonderful crew. We really had a lot of fun together, and it was a top show, so we were treated really, really well. And Aaron Spelling was so gracious and such a good man. It was something special.
Well, I want to tell anybody who's listening, Sis Rundle, who was Cheryl Ann Stanton, one of the most prominent roles she had. So if you're ever watching reruns, if you watch the episode called Pom Pom Angels, where they went undercover as cheerleaders, of course.
Oh, that's right.
Police detectives always go undercover as cheerleaders. Sis Rundle had a great part in that, as well as, like you said, the Charlie Girl. And that was the circus episode. That was Cheryl Ladd's first filmed episode. They shot it at CSUN, California State Northridge. I have to plug that, only because I went to CSUN. But,
my son just graduated CSUN. I didn't know they shot that there.
Yes, they shot the circus episode at CSUN. When you're on the campus, it's hard to figure out where it's at. But, yes, this was great in the Pom Pom Angels call. So everybody
the cheerleading show, I was a football fanatic, and one of the makeup men had on the mirror one day the auditions for Ram Cheerleaders, and he said, "Sis, you have to try out. You have to try out." I said, "But I have to work." He said, "We'll cover for you if you can't be here." So I tried out, and I made it, and then that led into cheerleading, 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 and then Ed Loosely said, "Well, let's write a cheerleading show." So I got to be really involved in that one, and that was an important show to me, and everybody stepped up, and it was a good show. It turned out really, really well.
It did, and like I said, I was just, Richard, I don't know if I did tell you this, but as I started to say, which is so funny, I interviewed so many people, and Sis was one of the ones that I interviewed for the casebook. In fact, I think there's a few quotes of you in the casebook, Sis, if you ever pick it up, or if you've ever read it. But you were so, I don't know if you remember, it was so long ago.
I do remember, because, I don't do that a lot, because you always get misquoted or it comes out a whole different way, and I pick my spots on when to do it, but you seem to be real to me, and anyone that's that enthusiastic about anything, I have to step up and say what I can. So
and you were terrific. You told me things in confidence, which I never divulged. So I just loved how open and candid you were, and this is such a treat that you called in today. It feels like old home week. And
I saw to call in, and I responded, and thank God I remembered. So,
yeah. I'm so grateful you called in. The time is just flying by. They're giving me like a one minute time, but. Sis, I loved you in that cheerleader, too. I think that's the one where you have the locker room conversation with Cheryl.
Oh,
am I remembering
Cheryl.
Right?
Yeah, that was a good one. I remember when that was over, there were tears in my son's eyes because he was so proud. Yeah,
wow.
Well, enjoy your show, and God bless you and keep you safe.
Well,
God bless
nice
you.
Nice talking to you. Thank
God
you
bless
for calling
you, Sis.
In. That was so nice.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sis, and God bless you, Jack, for coming on today. We're out of time, but backlotmovie.com, is that the best place for people to stay connected with you?
If you're looking for something, if you want to talk collecting, you can contact me through backlotmovie.com or charliesangelsfan.com, or you could just Google Jack Condon, and I'm all over the place with the Guinness record and all that stuff. But that was, Richard, that was such a treat. I can't believe Sis Rundle called in. And true story, she interviewed with me many years ago. And I'm going to give you a big thumbs up that you remembered that she was the Charlie Girl on the train.
Thanks.
You impressed me.
We share a mutual obsession, don't we?
Wow, that's just terrific. That was terrific.
Yeah.
Wow. And I got so excited over this. I think my froggy voice like went away. So,
yeah, I think your froggy got healed. That's the power of love and the power of Charlie's Angels.
Wow, terrific. Yes.
Well, God bless you, Jack.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to talk Charlie's Angels.
Oh, thanks again. And God bless all of you for tuning in today. What a show we've had to have Sis Rundle, the fourth angel, call in and to have Jack Condon. And tomorrow, speaking of classic TV, and I only got about 5 seconds, but tomorrow at 11 a.m. we have Surviving Sissy. Kathy Garver just came out with a book. She was Sissy on Family Affairs. She'll be here same time tomorrow, 11 a.m. So thanks for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live, and join us tomorrow. And I'll take you out with that wonderful, iconic theme song.